Okay, this is 18 August 1979 at the IAU in Montreal, talking with Dr. Tovmassian. And can you tell me what your educational background was and how you first came into contact with radio astronomy?
I graduated Yerevan University in 1953, specializing on astrophysics.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately after graduation was appointed to Burakan Observatory. And since that was early 50s, 53, radio astronomy was booming, or how to say that.
Right.
And it was decided in Burakan that we have to have radio astronomy too. And Albert Truman suggested me to become a radio astronomer. Though in university I didn't know any word about radio astronomy.
I see.
And I became, in our country we call it aspirant, which is postgraduate.
Mm-hmm.
Same as...
Like a postdoctoral position? Or
not postdoctoral, just after getting diploma in university.
A graduate student.
Graduate student, not postdoctoral.
Right.
Or graduate.
Is postgraduate in England, graduate student in America, different terms.
Okay. I mix them up.
Yeah.
And my chief in this was Chaikin, one of the founder of Soviet astronomy totally.
Right.
And before that he was chief of Sananyan. And another two radio astronomers in Burakan Observatory. And he suggested this item to Sananyan and to me, the method of accumulation of signal and by this improving sensitivity.
I see.
Sananyan did it using some photographical method after radio astronomy, after getting radio astronomical signal with working with interferometer. He put it the signal into some... such a, how it's called in English, I don't remember. Well, rotating thing. Due to signal, it rotates on this side or the other side.
Right.
And when fringes were or positive or negative, the mirror connected with the wire was turning this side, that side, and then made a signal, which was photographed.
I see.
That was accumulation of all fringes.
Right.
In my case, it was a resonance system. And it proved. It was really, my observations,
well,
it worked, but it had, of course, its disadvantages. It the system, the resonance system, became to resonance from fringes. It became very large, so a signal was amplified, but it was hard to find out its maximum. Where was it? Because it started somewhere and it goes and goes.
So it was a little bit unstable, are you saying?
Yes, it was a bit unstable. And it was very, though it was possible to get data, improved data, better data with better sensitivity, but it was very hard to work with it.
Now,
so that was just trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was the interferometer? What did you have for an
interferometer? Interferometer which I used there was 1.5 meter. It was worked at 1.5 meter. Each antenna was, how much, about 8 meters long.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 4 meters wide, something like about that.
And you were looking at the strongest radio sources.
Yes. Cassiopeia, Taurus,
mm-hmm.
and so on. Hercules, that was the weakest, I think, by that time with that small telescope. Just it was necessary to show that telescope works.
So I
said telescope. That this method works. It is possible to do to increase sensitivity in some way.
This method is similar, is it not, to the rotating lobe interferometer that was in Australia? I mean, it stops the fringes, essentially, and allows you to integrate. Is it not similar to that?
Not so. This was like in the clock, how you call this thing?
The pendulum.
The pendulum.
Yes.
Like pendulum, if you just push a bit, and then it will go and go.
Right.
So each signal, the resonance system was at the frequency of fringes, very low frequency thing. It was each 1 minute or 2 minute one fringe, such a very low frequency thing. And each fringe gave a signal to this resonance system.
Oh, I see.
And since if the beam is, say, 3 or 4 degrees, in these 3 or 4 degrees, we had, at those times, baselines were not very big, about 40 or 50 fringes. Each fringe act by itself on this resonance system. And then instead of having these fringes which will go in convolved by beam, it goes...
Right.
But if there is no such a regular signal as fringes from a radio source, then just chance. chance pushes to those pendulum and no any signal out, no any output. But it was then hard to find the proper, the maximum of the signal,
right,
because it rises and rises and rises. Somewhere it stopped when fringes began to go smaller. By the slope of this,
yes,
very hard, but it was possible, but it was not very much practical.
Was it used on any other systems besides that first interferometer?
No. Well, there were these interferometers. There were a couple of old army radar stations. This is also one of our old army radar stations. Old army radar stations, I think 8 meters or something, even smaller than 8 meters, I don't remember. We observed some during geophysical year. During that period, we were observing sun by that small dish. I don't remember exactly the size of it. And this 1.5 meter telescope also we used. And then we have also one, also such a square angle, which worked at 4 meters, I think, something about 4 meters, at 4 meters. So during this international geophysical year, these telescopes were used to observe sun, except at this 1.5 meter and 4 meters, since a couple of bright sources were observed, then when it turned that CAS A is changing, then monitoring of these two sources were organized, and then it was shown Sanaman did that. But though his percentage of changing was higher than then it was proved. It was proved then 1.6%
per year. Yes.
He got, if I am not wrong, 2.5 or 2.8, something like that. Changing was faster.
And when did he get a figure like that? What year?
57, 8.
That early?
Or maybe, yes, something about that period. Yes.
This was before Shklovsky proposed. That was 1960.
When it was proposed, he looked through all records and then noticed, because no one thought that such change could be and so on.
Right.
And his measurements gave larger.
So the observations were taken in the late 50s, but he only looked at them
later,
after Shklovsky's suggestion.
And after Shklovsky's suggestion, the monitoring was then done.
Before that,
it was the observations of these two sources were used as calibrations or just to check equipment and so on and so on. But after that,
is this fellow, how do you pronounce it?
Sanamian.
Sanamian, is he still at Barrikon?
Yes,
or?
Yes, yes, he's still there.
And I was going to ask, is Kaikin, is he still alive?
No.
He died.
He died before Ratan came into operation. He was the...
What year?
He did ID and... 69 or 69? Something. I don't remember exactly. Something about 68 or 9, at the end of 68.
Another general question, you mentioned that you were using Army surplus antennas and so forth. Was most of the Soviet radio astronomy in the 50s Army surplus?
No,
Barrikon?
No. We used that, yes. Because I saw at that period telescopes at Crimea. Well, they were installed in Crimea, but those were physical institute, Lebedev. They built them.
Right.
Just square arrays.
And what about the receiving equipment? Was that also built specially for the radio astronomy, or?
Oh yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Using some parts of radar stations, but of course they were old and it was necessary. That was just starting. We started Soviet Union very late, and we start very late, and still I think I am behind.
In the observational side.
Well, the only worthwhile telescope is Ratan.
What do you see? Any reason why radio astronomy did not get going as fast?
Money. The only reason, because scientists like say Amartsyan or Shklovsky in Moscow, they wanted very much to have radio telescope, worthwhile, good, big, but it was necessary to get the money.
But now in other areas, Soviet science was not as far behind the West by any means. So there must have been some priorities that were set. Since
that was new, maybe it was necessary to persuade the Academy of Sciences that it's worth to give such, and the money which were demanded were larger than usually. So who knows?
Did you visit, were you in contact with the other radio astronomers in the Soviet Union at this time when you were 57, 58?
Well, Pulkova, since Hagin was there, I went there, I spent a couple of months there. Then he sent me to Crimea in 54, mm-hmm. that was 54 already. Then he suggested me to go to Crimea to be acquainted because they had already something there,
right.
the physical institute,
right.
Lebedev Institute. I spent another 3 or 4 months there because I was pure astronomer, not knowing what is a radio valve and so on. It was necessary to be acquainted with all of this. There were no any ready radio telescope. It was necessary. This, for example, this resonance system was built just by my hands, everything.
Now, was this unusual that someone like you, that interested in radio astronomy, was not a radio engineer? Were most of the people, did they have engineering backgrounds?
Well, in Burakan Observatory it was so. Well, Sanamyan had a radio engineering background, but all the others who came to radio astronomy later on were astronomers.
Right, but what about at Lebedev and
But there Pulkova? They were mostly radio engineers, as everywhere.
Pulkova also?
Pulkova also.
Yeah.
Hagin was
right.
physicist, and all the others in his group were. Vitkevich was also one of the chiefs at that time.
Right.
Also. And only the people like Shklovsky, who were not doing observations but analyzing and
right.
so on, they were astronomers.
Right.
And in Burakan, Ambartsumen, our director, considered that. Anyhow, we call it radio astronomy, but it is astronomy. At the end, we have to study celestial objects, we have to study astronomical events, bodies, and so on. So astronomers should go there.
At all
so
wavelengths.
So he thought better yeah. astronomer go there and study radio technique. Instead of radio technician goes here and then doesn't know what to do. He has to learn then astronomy
right.
and so on.
Learn what to write ascension
so, I don't know which way is better, but there were such a two ways of that period.
What kind of questions did Ambartsumian think were most important for radio astronomy to do at that time? Can you remember?
Well, since radio galaxies were already discovered, and since he was the first who rejected collisions.
Right.
And was it's possible to use this word, fighting. For the activity of nuclear galaxies.
Right.
He was interested very much in observing radio galaxies, studying their structure and so on and so on.
So as a natural, to go along with his study
yes,
of nuclei
yes.
of galaxies.
And then, of course, not the Burakan's income was not income.
But budget?
Budget, yes, to me, to say so. All the study of radio galaxies and so on, then it helped him to come to this idea of activity of nuclei, because at the beginning when he rejected the collision, he said that is a splitting of nuclei, just splitting. And then it turned out that cannot, like, there is a very simple animal which splits once, and then it's called amoeba in Russian.
Amoeba.
Yes, right. That hardly nuclei can split like amoeba. Then he came, since before that he discovered stellar associations, he came to the idea of existence of hypothetical superdense matter, explosions
right.
of which give rise to stellar associations, which can explain the flares in flare stars. Then naturally he came that probably in the nuclei we have plenty of this matter,
just
huge
a,
amount of this, and then
on a
the
bigger
explosion,
scale, the
yes,
same
on a
sort
bigger
of thing.
Scale. Of course, these ideas are not widely accepted,
yeah.
but everyone now, everywhere, sees explosions.
Right.
Bursts,
he was just 20 years ahead of his time.
Yes,
yeah, right.
yes.
So,
and he was interested very much to do observations of these things, though our telescopes didn't permit to do that.
So, going back to your interferometer, you did some observations and showed that your system, your resonance method would work.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I gather...
Well, it became not... We saw that it is not very practical.
Right.
It's not very practical, and then...
But then what was the next step, then?
Inside. Well, my next step was that I haven't seen any future in our radio telescope. I felt that it's until we finish it will be, because I was acquainted with literature. I knew what's going on in the world.
Right.
And I saw that hardly we can do anything with our telescope, and decided even to give up with radio astronomy. Being attached with it, and started to do that identification work with clusters of galaxies. Since the idea was so, almost simultaneously Mills made the same work.
Right.
The idea was that since we don't know the correct coordinate, the correct position of galaxy, but we knew that some of them are in clusters of galaxies, so it was, the idea was to make identification with two steps. First step with cluster of galaxy.
Yes.
And then, after calculating the number of chance coincidences and seeing that the real coincidence are much more so than most of them are real identifications, then to try to guess or to see which galaxy may be responsible for radio emission, may have some appearance which is proper to radio galaxies and so on. And then later on, being in Australia, I observed some of these previous identification.
What year was that?
In 65.
Mm-hmm.
In 65, I observed some of radio sources which were in this early 60s identified with.
Right.
And in about, I don't remember exactly now, 80 or 90%, they were proved that really the galaxy which was were suggested was a really radio source.
Mm-hmm.
Just by its appearance and being a member of cluster. And then I succeeded maybe, or I had the chance to go to England
in 61.
I observed the star clusters.
In what telescope now?
Jodrell Bank.
Yes.
In 61, Jodrell Bank with Rod Davies.
Mm-hmm.
We published two papers in Monthly Notices at that time.
I missed those somehow. Was they published in 62? Earlier than, that must have been a little bit later.
Later, maybe 63 or yeah, okay. 63 maybe. I went in 61. Then when we finished analyzing, it turned out there were some faulty in equipment. So it was necessary to repeat some of observations in 62. I went there in 62. And papers appeared or in 63 or
okay.
maybe even later.
And you were looking for what, ionized gas and star clusters?
Not for ionized. Well, both, because in total power we saw ionized, but main purpose was to find neutral hydrogen. And this was connected with the ideas of associations in Burak.
This was, right, and this was similar to some work had been done at Harvard on at 21 centimeters.
By Drake.
And a couple other people, I think, had looked at associations.
I remember only the Drake, but then Raymond in Holland do the same.
That's right,
type of Roy.
Right.
Or Raymond or Raymond, I don't know how to
Raymond. Call it. Raymond. Yes. Raymond.
But there were such a difference. For example, when Drake looked, he looked to clusters of different age.
Yes.
And he showed that in clusters with older age, there is no gas. So his conclusion was that all gas, which primordial or protostellar gas,
right.
converted into stars.
Yes.
The aim of my observations were to observe all young clusters, to see are there any difference in gas content there. And observations were, in Jodrell Bank we observed four or five anti-clusters,
yes.
very small amount, and statistic wasn't very good. But then in 65, when I was in Parkes, I observed them more, about 15 clusters in mm-hmm. hydrogen and in
continuum
yeah. also, monochromatic and continuum, to see neutral and ionized, to determine the total amount of gas connected with this. And the dispersion was just huge. There were clusters without
yeah.
any, not cluster, yes, clusters, nucleus of association, without any detectable amount of hydrogen. And this was somehow as proof of Amartsumen's ideas. Because if, according to this contraction, some gas converted to stars, but some should stay, and with the aging of cluster, amount of gas should decrease.
You should see a nice sequence
on
the conventional
yes.
ideas.
But here there were no any correlation. All of them were young, all of them ages were about 10 to the 6.
Yes.
Or something about that. Then I published the data in the observation of the results in Australian Journal of Physics, but very late in 72 or something, the observations were in 65. But because I was mostly engaged with galaxies and that work was waiting. And then in our Astrophysica, the discussion of it.
But in the first 5 years of 1960 to 65, when you were doing this kind of source analysis and going to Jodrell, was there any radio astronomy going on at Burikon?
Well, that telescope from which I turned, I didn't intend it to work with that telescope, only that telescope, and that telescope haven't done very much. There were no any second instrument until now. That is the only one telescope which we have. And I think this my paper with Sanaman and Aslanian about observations on that spar is the only observational result obtained with that telescope.
That came from that. That was at 83 megahertz where you looked at the North Galactic.
Yes. When I saw the paper published by, I don't remember now, Davis and Henry Brown. I think Davis and Henry Brown.
That sounds right.
They saw something like spur.
Right.
And they suggested that probably that is a supernova remnant. And since they were observing at Jodrell with very high latitude, then being at Burikon, I thought that it would be better to follow down and to see really this shell goes down and really it is around one. And it took for about 1 year almost me to persuade to do at least that observation there.
But
they were only studying the telescope, adjusting and so on. Well, I said this is such a big signal and maybe we will see something. Let us try. And at last it was done. And that was the only observation made by that telescope. After that, in early 62 or 3 or 62, I think, or 3, just after observation of this spur, it was decided to change telescope to 75 centimeter. Because the beam at 3 meters were too big, and it was decided, and then work of changing all the dipoles all along the 200 meters.
Right.
Well, it was originally it was 100 meter long.
And so parabolic cylinder?
Yes, parabolic cylinder, 100 meter long, 18 meters wide. Then it was decided to change all dipoles along this 100 meter to 75 centimeter ones. And then to increase the length of telescope to 200 meters. So all this work took another, I don't remember, 6 or 7 years. I didn't work with that telescope.
That's the late 60s now.
Yes, late 60s, they finished this at last. And it was too late.
It was too late, right.
The only thing which will be done by that telescope, which may be worthwhile, is will be now. Probably it will work as VLBI with Indian Ooty telescope.
I see. Is that planned?
Both are working at 75 centimeter. This is planned, yes. First, they try to adjust things and so on. And this will be, well, baseline is not very long enough, but this is 75 centimeter. No one yet tried to do it.
Right, you don't know what to do.
Probably the structure of this long wavelength will be a little bit different also. Mm-hmm. So this will be the only work done by that telescope which will justify its existence.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
That ends the interview with Tohmasian on 18 August 79.